This morning we're going to finish up our study on what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. The last part of the verse, of course, the verse reads, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of trouble." Today we're going to look at the wicked for the day of trouble. It's the most hated, most despised of all scripture. "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them." We talk about election, and this is, we're not really going to look at election this morning. We know from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, of course, talking about election, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That's election. Chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's dead man. Must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 11, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will." Again, that's election. A lot can be said. Dead, there's no such thing as deader, deadest. Dead's dead. Man was spiritually dead, could do nothing. However, there's other places that speak about election. Acts chapter 13, verse 41, and other passages too. But like I say, that's not really what we're looking at. Acts 13, verse 41. I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 48. "And when the Gentiles had heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." But then there's what some call foredamnation. Now, Scripture teaches, from a positive standpoint, which is what we preach, the glass is half full, not half empty. Like I say, that's the positive aspect of it. In the book of Psalms, yes, indeed, God looked down and saw who all would believe. That's what the Arminian likes to think, and he saw who would believe, and that's the ones he chosen. But he looked down and saw that none would believe. Right. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's Psalms 53:3. Amen. Some say, oh, that's David. He wasn't always right. David is mentioned in the New Testament, the book of Acts, the first chapter and the 16th verse. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David spake." David was an inspired writer, cannot be disputed. We often refer to John chapter 6. "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Knowledge is a great thing, but it takes more than knowledge to be a child of God. Those that Christ sent out in the Gospel of Luke come back talking about all the power they had. and its importance. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When were they written there? God promised eternal life, we know from the book of Titus, to a people. God cannot lie. Those people, we don't know who they are or were, but he does. Those people will receive the end of that promise, eternal life. God cannot lie, and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I say all these things go with what we teach in election. Getting back to the knowledge. Knowledge is not an indicator of sonship. James 2:19 tells us devils fear and tremble. They have no repentance. The devil, full of wisdom. We may pride ourselves on doctrine, but to warn that. The names had to be written in heaven. Eli's sons, who were wicked, they were priests. It takes more than that. Ability to understand Scripture. It's a great thing, understanding Scripture, but the devil probably knows it better than we do. Natural man receiveth not the things of God, there is foolishness unto them. On and on we could go. Speaking about foreknowledge. There's another side. Turn to the book of Jude. The fourth verse of the book of Jude. And there's other passages. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, before of old ordained into this condemnation. You cannot dispute that. Like I say, it's the most despised of Scripture, but nevertheless, it is so. If God calls a preacher to preach, he must also call the hearer to hear and the sinner to believe. Now, if one preaches without God sending him, is he going to bless it? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men. Yes, God knew they wouldn't believe. He knew that none would believe unless he worked in our lives. But we must preach and teach the whole counsel of God. This is part of it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Well, better back up on that. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, were unto also they were appointed. I've asked preachers that claim to be Sovereign Grace Baptists. They don't always like things like that. And those that say that they're Sovereign Grace Baptists are not all Sovereign Grace Baptists either. Yes, foreknowledge. In Romans chapter 8, those who God foreknew, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate be conformed into the image of his son. He foreknew us, and he predestinated us. And in the case of these wicked we just read about, he appointed them to their position also. We think about death. If God didn't grant man death, man would not die, regardless of how sick or how ill he was. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Romans teaches a lot about things that people dispute. Like I say, this is the thing that most disputed, most despised. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, that was before they were both born, as you look at the context, verse 11. Being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. He hated Esau. Oh, he just loved him less. We've all heard that before. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know the answer is in the book of Malachi. It tells us how much less he loved him, so much that he hated him, as one brother pointed out. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Verse 3 of Malachi chapter 1. Didn't love him. Still in Romans chapter 9, verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That passage speaks about the potter and the clay. Hath not the potter, verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another dishonor? A machinist is similar to a potter. We make things. I've never had a work piece jump up and say, why are you making me such? A lot of things about the Word of God, we take it by faith. It may be mysterious, but unbelief is, you know, if you're denying what we're talking about, if one denies it, that's unbelief. That's saying, God, I mean, what Brother Joe read it this morning, Saul was going to slay women, children, all. That's what he expected. I mean, look at what happened to Saul for not having done just that. The world needs to look at the God that they claim to worship. God made some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. We just read there in Romans 9:21. John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, the 18th verse, John 13:18. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He knew who he'd chosen. There in the Great White Throne Judgment, that in Revelation chapter 20, as it reads, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That book was written before the world began. Speaks about it again there in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, the 8th verse, the bottom of the paragraph. Well, read the whole paragraph. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Foundation, that's when the book was written. Now, they'll tell you God takes out his pen when one believes and writes their name in there. That couldn't be any farther from the truth. Revelation 13 also speaks about that book of life, as does, well, I believe it's the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, when no one was able or worthy to open the book. All these things are left up to God's discretion. What glory does it bring? As we've read, he created, made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. The wicked there, the idea is the condemned. What glory is that going to bring? Well, they had opportunity. Look there in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter. They just simply would not hear. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They hated knowledge. Verse 29, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. That same passage tells us in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Arminians ain't going to be preaching anything like that. What glory does this bring God? He allows both vessels to fall in Adam. One glorifies his justice, the other his long-suffering and sovereign will, as well as his goodness. He's good to all. He allows man, gives man the opportunity, but man will not believe. The entrance of sin into the world, and God is not the author of sin, was necessary to manifest God's wrath and hatred for sin and show his holiness, and that's what we see. He demands perfection. That's why he sent his son, the only one that was sinless, the only one capable. One vessel's fitted and one's prepared. Romans 9, framed, showing God's power in bringing one to salvation, one to faith, leaving the other in their sins, having their own way. That's called reprobation, God having left them to themselves. He's done with them. In Romans chapter 10, and all the unbelievers got to do is believe. He's got to repent. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. If you've repented, that will be the next step. We repent and believe in that order. It's nearly instantaneous, and it's right next together. Man must make an about face, lay down his weapons of warfare against a sin-avenging God. He cannot do that unless God grants him the repentance and faith. We read about Jacob and Esau. Both vessels were sinners. I mean, we read, that's easy to see. God loved one and hated the other. And regardless, the more we see Scripture, we see ourselves more like the unrighteous. By grace are you saved through faith. We're in these sinful bodies. We're vessels of mercy. Mercy makes a difference. God withholds his wrath from us that we're worthy of. That's the reason I say, as David Ramsey does, better than I deserve. We deserve God's wrath. I don't find myself being more like Christ. I see myself more wicked. As Brother Job pointed out, like Isaiah, woe is me. We think about God's predetermined will. And he told Abraham what he would do. His seed would be as the sands of the sea, the stars of heaven. He told Moses, the day is approached that thou must die. It had to happen. It's going to happen. Must happen that day. There was a reason, because everything was fitted in God's predetermined will. We read about other places, like Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And Job in chapter 14 talks about our appointed days. God makes these appointments, and they will be kept. His appointments must come to pass. He appointed the foundations of the earth and the earth's courses. It's amazing how everything stays right on course, because he said it would be so. If it messed up the least little bit, we'd freeze to death or burn up. Scientists keep running into walls searching for new worlds, and they don't find them. They try to find something that goes against Scripture. They make stuff up, and it doesn't happen. He had determined the 70-year Babylonian captivity and brought it to pass. Then he also appointed Cyrus to help bring them back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. He appointed his son where he was to be brought into this world, his means of death. There in Psalms 22, it speaks about how his visage was marred. Man does not like, to be told that this is all you're going to get. This is what's meant for you, and that over there is not meant for you. Both King Saul and King Uzziah wanted to offer offering unto the Lord, bring hither the sacrifice, said Saul. And that cost him his kingdom. Nadab and Abihu desired something in worshiping God. They offered something they were not supposed to. God struck them dead. That's, in the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. Leviticus 10, Numbers, the 16th chapter, is given to Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And Aaron, the high priest, even though Aaron had made that golden calf, nevertheless, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He's not an Indian giver. If he calls one to preach or to dig ditches, that's what he will expect out of us, and that's what we'd be better off doing. We all, it's like I say, it's our tendency to desire things that are not given to us. There in the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, he made simple verse 11, because it was given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. There's a lot of things we can say about Scripture, but nothing happens without God's permission. Turn over to the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, if man could turn by himself, he wouldn't need God. that God's the only one that's going to receive any glory out of it. Verse 31 and 32 of the same chapter. Speaking about the people of Israel, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they will hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, and with their heart goeth after their covetous. And lo, thou art like unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they will hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet had been among them. And it came to pass exactly like he said. The only one that has any glory is God. Ezekiel wrote thousands of years ago, and little has changed. No matter how fancy things get, look at the war going on over there. War is the same. Of any generation, it's killing one another. When it would be much easier if man loved his neighbor. Once again, obedience unto God. Why do we believe? Well, do we act as if we believed? What do our actions say? John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, what it really all boils down to. No man cometh to the Father but by the Son. John 14 and 3. 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All this leads to, do we walk by faith? Now, there's some say, well, if God wants me, he will have to choose me, which means they're not really interested. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I mean, what does it read there in Matthew chapter 25? One, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then verse 34, the king shall say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It was prepared for people before the foundation of the world. And we don't preach predamnation, but we've already read two passages, actually four. It speaks about the wicked were appointed into their eternal lot. They just simply prove or verify what God had spoken long before that. He has all eternity to deal with the wicked that we know. We think about Armageddon, that's predetermined. It tells us that there in Isaiah 66:16, the slain of the Lord shall be many. Some would claim that God would not do such, casting man into such a torment for such a long time. Once again, all you got to do is believe. Man believes what he wants to believe, but does he believe the God of this we read about in Scripture? Man has a problem that only God can correct. It takes a new heart. Man must have a new nature. He must be conformed into the image of Christ, because when God views us, if he views us in our sin, we'd be cast into torment, but when he sees his son's shed blood, his wrath passes over. Man must be the recipient of a new heart. It's in the book of Ezekiel somewhere. I said somewhere. I believe it's in chapter 26. That's not the passage I was looking for. We think about Pharaoh. This is typical of man's thinking he repented. Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. Pharaoh, according to what the world, the Armenian would say, repented. Exodus 9:27. And Pharaoh sinned and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And of course, we know he wouldn't let the people go. And when he did let them go, he followed after them. All these things will verify in time what God had said all along. Let's turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. There we'll close. We're out of time. Have we received a love for the truth? What we're talking about, it's obvious these things are truth. Do we have a love for the truth? I don't believe just that. I don't like that. I mean, that's the law of religion. Man believes a God like that's to his liking. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to have things are going on that everybody's going to think he's the Christ. Couldn't be any farther from the truth. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. He's going to send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's exactly what will happen. And that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Some sobering thoughts. Isaiah speaks about your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear. We read in the Revelation about the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's the difference? God made the difference. If we believe that and give him the honor and glory to do his name, that's what he requires of us. Be conformed then into the image of his son. Anyway, I'm out of time. We'll take up with another topic for next time.
I'm going to let you keep going, brother. I appreciate that.
I'm sure you've embellished a little bit.
I think we could find more verses for sure.